The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
John Gibbons, the environmental commentator, is with us. John, why do you believe Ireland needs to phase out the use of coal and turf for heating and power generation?
Well, I don't often find myself agreeing with John Fitzgerald, the economist, but I think he really nailed it today with the Climate Advisory Council, where he said, you know, government policy is failing. We've seen that so clearly in recent days with the Environment Protection Agency showed us that national emissions right across the board have gone up 7% in 2 years. This at a time, Matt, when we should be probably about 10% down. We should be reducing our carbon intensity, our total carbon, by about 5% a year. Instead, we're going up by about 3% a year. So essentially, it means we're going exactly backwards. If we were a car, I'd say we were heading into a pole. So that's the context for this. Then you've got to say, well, where can we make these kind of changes? And certainly a place where we absolutely need to start is in our energy systems. And let's take the easiest place to start, of course, is peat, because peat burning, especially industrial scale peat burning, makes no sense at all. You and I and the rest of people who pay electricity bills, we're currently paying about 120 million a year through a thing called the Public Service Obligation Levy. And what we do is that money then is paid to prop up two of the three peat burning plants, which are really political show plants.
But hold on, been phased out? Aren't they been replaced with biomass and the rest of it? Bordnemona and ESB are getting rid of their peat production plants.
Well, they're talking about it, Matt. When they say phased out, what they actually want to do is to continue burning peat until at least 2030, and they want to do it by co-burning it with biomass. And they plan to do that by importing biomass, probably from the southern states of the US. So as a program, what Bordnemona have described their biomass program is really a front for continuing to strip and burn bogs. And just a quick stat, if I might, for your listeners. Worldwide, Matt, peatlands cover about 3% of the land surface of the earth. They're really quite small. But in that tiny space, they contain more than twice the carbon of the entire forests of the world. So peatland per hectare is the most intense valuable carbon store in the world. Now, the opposite of that is when you tear up a peat bog, you release more carbon per hectare than any other activity known to man. So burning peat for all kinds of reasons, apart from the fact that it actually loses money and we have to subsidize it, it also creates massive carbon emissions, which is something that Ireland needs to stop doing because, as you know, the EU has really said to us, look, enough is enough. Ireland has wiggled on derogations for years. And what the EU has now said, and Phil Hogan, actually, the EU Agriculture Commissioner, drove this home yesterday at the Foodwise Conference. He said Ireland is sleepwalking into 300-500 million a year in EU fines for our absolute negligence when it comes to tackling emissions.
Just before I bring in Michael Fitzmaurice, the independent TD for Roscommon Galway, is with us as well. It's one thing saying industrial use of turf and coal and for generation of power. But what about for heating? What about the fellow who wants to cut a little bit of turf out in the field behind him that he has and use it for his own heating? And that's not going to do much to emissions, is it?
Well, the funny thing is, there aren't that many people out doing the traditional turbary. What we're seeing instead are industrial contractors, like Michael, in fact, who head out onto bogs using industrial-sized excavators. Now, you can damage and destroy a bog pretty much in a morning. All you have to do, Matt, to destroy a bog is to drain it. You simply lower the water table in a bog and you're already belching out massive amounts of carbon. So unfortunately, the idea, I mean, my late father many years ago would have hand-cut turf out of the bog during the Second World War. And we did that because at that time we had no choice. These days we have every choice and you know, no rational person would today say that bog cutting is a defensible activity.
Certainly okay, well, let me put it to Michael Fitzmaurice. Are you a rational person, Michael Fitzmaurice?
Well, I think I am, and hopefully I am. Obviously, 10,000 people must have thought I was when they gave me a vote. First of all, just to correct a few of the nonsensical things that John has come out with, Ireland signed up to something that, first of all, they weren't fit to attain to. The second thing is that in the line of turf cutting, just that John might, someday if you want to come down, I'll educate you if you don't understand it. Whether it's a spoon, we take it out in a domestic turf cutting bank, which is probably 22 yards wide by 100 yards long. One fireplace or two fireplaces in a house, that's all the cut for the year. 400 euros worth of turf is domestic turf cutting. And whether it's with a sleighan or whether it's with a machine that Micah Fitzmaurice has and never denies that he has, that goes round from person to person, which is not commercialised, John. Just get that into your head. It is going round the same as I bail fields with a bailer for each person, or somebody goes round in a taxi and brings people from A to B. Get that clear. Second of all, in the line of commercial, say, peat operations, Ireland has signed up that they're getting rid of, say, Bournemouth is scaling down, and by 2030 they will have that done. At the same time that Angela Merkel and the Italian Prime Minister and the Prime Minister in Holland is taking peat in from Ireland for their septic tank system, we are aiding and abetting that. Second of all, if you look at the emissions, in the line of people cutting turf, probably 50% less since 1990 are cutting turf. Emissions have gone up, John, just in case you didn't know. There are more people working. There were never over 2 million people, thank God, working. And when people go to work, obviously they have to have a car, obviously you have to build buildings, and obviously you are going to have more carbon in the environment. But John doesn't seem to understand that. Second of all, when it comes to the PSO levy, and I agree with you there, I don't believe it should be used for peat, but I certainly do not agree either that it should be used for this fiasco called wind, where 60% of it is now owned by foreigners of the wind turbines in this country. And tell people out straight, John, that if we are to run wind at a viable rate without subsidising it, it needs to be 50% more. Tell that to the people that's trying to put their kids into college. Tell that to the people where I come from, near bogs, where we go up 100 or 200 yards to bring down enough for the winter. People that's living on 12 to 14,000 euro per year. Socially and economically areas that are deprived. And I will always stand up for that. If we can move forward with electric cars in cities, yes, great. I believe in that. I believe in making sure that we insulate houses to the best of our ability. But what we are doing here, it might be fine for you abroad in Dunleary or wherever you're from, John, that the gas is piped into your house. Well, go down the country. You don't have gas piped to your house. Businesses down the country have to haul the gas, which actually in one company I know costs 150,000 more to run that factory than if gas was piped to their door. So let's not be talking about apples and oranges. Let's not be looking at the small person. Let's look at aviation. What is the increase in aviation since 1990? Are we going to say to everyone, get out of travelling on planes, don't do it anymore?
But you said all that, John Gibbons.
Yeah, I lost track, Michael, of the charge sheet there a few items back. But let's take a couple of easy ones, right? Let's start with heating your home, right? I'd agree with you, by the way. We're all entitled to a home. And another thing we're all entitled to is our health. So let's agree on those two things. A healthy house, a warm, comfortable home. Now, we don't need to do that by blasting fossil fuels into it. Since about 2010, we've brought in new building regulations in Ireland, which mean that all new build houses are practically built to a passive house standard, which in plain terms, Michael, means that you only need something like a tenth or even a 15th of the energy that used to be required to heat those houses. So all that hauling of turf, all that hauling of gas that you've been so poetically describing, what we need to do with that, Michael, is to reduce it, right? People don't...
But sorry, those houses, yep. That's only a very small number, John.
There was 1.4 million
houses built before 2010.
Michael,
and yes,
sorry,
if you listen to me, I said that Michael, we insulate them as best as possible.
Yeah, but no, best as possible, Michael, isn't good enough, right? Let's agree something, right? That 120 million, right? We did some calculations. I've done some calculations on what we might actually do with that, right? Let's just take that money alone that we're throwing down the drain by allowing Bournemouth to continue in this crazy operation. But let's just imagine what we might actually do with that. First of all, we can create 3,000 jobs, Michael, distributed all over the country in an intensive national retrofitting program. We can then take the solid fuel allowance, which, as you know, runs into several 100 million a year, which again is money up the chimney. We can take those two funds, Michael, we're heading for €1 billion now, and have a national retrofitting program that will produce thousands of jobs in small towns and villages all over the country, because the beauty of retrofitting, as you know, Michael, is that it isn't done by fancy lads in Dunleary. It's actually done by your local contractor who lives down the road from you. Now, would you not rather, Michael, for your children's sake and your neighbours' children's sake and their health, that you're part of a movement towards a safer future? And I just, on this, there is a backdrop to all this, which I would like to ask Michael about. There's a minor thing, Michael, called climate change as well, which is a bit of a growing issue. Could I get your take on that? Is this something that you'd sign up to agree that that is a dangerous thing, and you and me and everybody else needs to do what we can urgently to deal with it?
Well, first of all, I will answer your questions one by one. In the line of the houses, unfortunately, John, most of the houses in rural parts of Ireland were built long before 2010. So I agree with you wholeheartedly that the better insulation we can do to houses, and I think your figures are absolute crazy. 1/15 of what it was. That doesn't add up in any person, because
John, will you let me talk now?
I let you have your speech.
Go ahead.
In fairness, I come from a construction background, so I'd have a good idea of it. Second of all, the PSO levy, Michael Fitzmaurice always was on record and said he doesn't agree with it. But by the way, in case you don't know, the PSO levy is to be gone fully, I think, by 2019, if you look it up. But where is it going, John? It's going across to what you believe in, called the little wind industry, and it's going to go into biomass, and it's going to go into the other things. And I agree with you, by the way, when you talk about Burn Mon and going out of the country. But what other choice will they have? Because to be honest about it, you can't grow willow in bogs. They won't grow effectively. You won't grow them on the amount of land that you'll require. Second of all, to go back to your other question, in the line of people in rural Ireland have gone more efficient and always strive to be more efficient. But John, when you talk about the new systems that's out there, just think for 1 minute, my dear friend, you need money. And if you're working on 12 to 18,000 of an income, obviously you can't go into a bank and say, I want 30 grand. Second of all, if Ireland wants to go into the little world that you believe in, John, you will need 40 billion, because in Rod Ayrton straight away to change over will need 3 billion. You go through all the different sectors in Ireland. And by the way, you want to kill half our national herd to make sure that we have another 100,000 farmers out of work.
Unfortunately, I'm out of time. We will come back to this discussion, John Gibbons. As you know, we'll talk to you again about these issues. Thank you, Michael Fitzmaurice, as well.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.